In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and Order UK.
Police have been granted a further 24 hours to interview Lenny Gaines, the father of 10-year-old Jodie Gaines, who's been missing for 7 days. Jodie went missing last Friday on her way to a music lesson in central London. Earlier this week, Lenny Gaines and his ex-wife Kaylee made an emotional plea for Jodie's safe return.
If you saw Jodie, do you know where? Where she is?
A truck drives through some back streets in London at night. The driver spots a skip full of junk. He backs up for a better look.
Please. Tell the police.
The driver and another man examine the contents of the skip.
She's our baby.
The men pick up an old radiator.
And we need a home. Need a home now.
The men discover a corpse in the skip.
A couple of Latvian skip rats found her about 3 hours ago. They were after scrap metal. She was under that radiator. Time of death about 6 to 10 hours ago. Cause not obvious. She'd only been dead about an hour or so when they dumped her. There's abrasions on the palms of her hands. Looks like glass.
Ronnie looks.
Is it her?
Jodie had a scar on her left arm.
The body also has a scar. Matt looks away.
Any sign of her school bag or mobile?
Nothing yet.
Anything else for us?
A couple of mothballs stuck to the sheet.
Hey? Who uses mothballs these days? Who tapes a kid's mouth shut and shoves him in a skip?
I don't know. But it wasn't her dad.
Let's get him out of the cells then, eh?
Images of London are overlaid by shots of the show's characters in action. Law. Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks. Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin. Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler. Order. Ben Daniels as James Steele. Freema Agyeman as Alicia Phillips. And Bill Patterson as George Castle. James, Ronnie, Alicia and Matt walk along chatting together. Law and Order UK. Original series by Dick Wolfe. Hidden. Teleplay by Amelia De Girolamo, based on Bitter Fruit by Renee Balser and Jeremy R. Littman. A mortuary assistant raises a sheet on the corpse found in the skip. Jodie's parents, accompanied by Ronnie and Matt, look in on it through a viewing window. Produced by Richard Stokes, directed by Julian Holmes, with Dervla Kerwin, Anna Madeley. Jodie's mum, Kaylee, begins to break down as she looks at the body. Ronnie, Matt, Kaylee and Lenny Gaines walk up some stairs.
We've told you everything we know.
Yeah, but it will just help us, Mr. Gaines.
We just need to go over your statements again. Routine, that's all.
49 hours I've been locked up. And all the time she's been out there, alive.
Well, the other team, you know, made a bad call. And I know it doesn't make it any easier, but when a child goes missing, presumed dead, we have to consider every possibility. Even the fact that maybe the dad did it.
Not this dad.
Just like to go over Jodie's after-school routine, if that's okay, just in case something may have been missed.
Guitar lesson, 4 p.m, Poland Street. It's about a mile away from the school.
And how does she get there?
Same cab firm. They're all CRB checked. Look, Jodie knows all the drivers. Been through this 100 times.
Well, you don't think she's a bit young to be taking cabs on her own?
Lenny glares at Matt.
Well, cabs, you know, they're checked, so they're safe, eh?
She's usually back 10 minutes after me. I waited and waited, but she didn't come home.
So Jodie was staying with you, yeah?
Jodie lived with me. The family courts gave me custody.
Right.
I called Grebo.
Grebo?
Grebo Moore, the guitar teacher.
Lovely, thanks, man.
But he said she never showed up, but The school teacher said she saw her get into the cab.
With Natalie.
Cause of death was suffocation. Joe had a stomach bug, mouth was taped shut, vomit needed to go somewhere, and it did. Clogged up the nasal passages.
Jesus.
So it could have been accidental.
Well, accidentally tape her mouth shut, did he? How are we going to tell that to the dad?
Well, it's her mum I'm worried about. Poor woman could barely speak.
Well, at least Jodie wasn't sexually assaulted. There's got to be some consolation.
Although that could have been the motive for the kidnapping, though.
They did pull over 50 splinters of glass out of her hands.
How did the glass get in her hands?
Well, it could have been a scuffle. Glass could have smashed and she could have tried to crawl over it.
Any news on the sheet she was wrapped up in?
It was a 1950s vintage top sheet, part of a set, but it could have come from any retro shop, jumble sale.
Or it could have been brought new and just had over, I don't know, half a century's worth of use.
Yeah.
Talk to the cabbie again. And to the guitar teacher.
MIU Central HQ.
Like I told the other cops, she didn't show.
The thing is, Grebo, can I call you Grebo? We have a witness that saw her walk through your front door.
I don't know what to say. You went through my flat. And don't think you won't get a bill for the damages.
I'll give you the number of our complaints line.
So Jodie comes to your place week in, week out for guitar lessons. When she doesn't show up, you don't think to call her parents?
I did the first time she tried it. Her dad went mental.
So what about the second or the third time?
Her dad kept her on a tight leash. Look, if I thought for 1 second Jodie was in trouble, I'd have called her dad.
Rupert Street, Soho, W1.
I've been driving Jodie over a year now. Sparky kid.
Where exactly did you drop Jodie?
Outside Fred City on Poland Street. Her music teacher lives above it.
And you watched her go in?
Always do. The school recommends us to parents. It's part of the deal.
And what route did you take?
Shaftesbury Avenue, Wardour Street, Broadwick Street, then on to Poland Street.
Workman.
Lads, all right, how you doing? Yeah, just a quick question. How long have you been working here?
Best part of a week.
And this diversion's been in place the whole time?
Yeah. Am I missing something?
Right, our cabbie reckons he drove down Broadwick Street and turned right into Poland Street.
Maybe his cab's got wings.
Okay. Maybe I took Knoll Street, turned left into Poland Street.
No, that's one way.
Then it must have been Dublay Street.
I don't know, Ronnie. I thought these cabbies were meant to have a memory for routes.
You know what, Dom? I sympathise with you. I really do. And I tell you for why. Because when I was married to the first Mrs. Brooks and I came home late, she would want to know every single detail. And I used to struggle because, I've got to be honest, after time, I couldn't remember what I said.
But it matter what road I took.
Hey. It matters, because we reckon you took Jodie for a little detour. I don't know, maybe school uniforms float your
boat.
You're
sick. I've got 4 girls of my own.
So now you think you're a man of honour because you won't touch your own kids, but as long as they're not related, then they're fair game.
This is crazy. I didn't do that.
Now, listen to me. You've lied once.
John. Would you like a cup of tea?
Yes.
Yeah, me and all. What about you, Matt? Fancy a cup of tea? Why don't you get us a cup of tea?
Matt looks at Ronnie, who gives him a reassuring nod. Giving D'Agostino a hard stare, Matt gets to his feet.
For the tape, D.S. Devlin is leaving the room.
D'Agostino wrings his hands anxiously. Ronnie sits.
Well, you know what, Dom? I think you're telling the truth. But I also think you're leaving something out. Some little detail you're not telling us, you know. A bit like when I used to tell my wife I was working late and forgot to mention I'd spent 4 hours in the Red Lion.
D'Agostino regards him warily.
What's the little detail?
D'Agostino considers, then nods.
Traffic was hell. Jodie said she could walk it faster. I dropped her off from Wardour Street, corner of Broadwick. I promised her that I would never leave till she was inside.
He buries his face in his hands. Ronnie and Matt go to see Natalie.
We've run his name through the system. Not even a parking fine.
Right. Do you want us to let him go then, Gov?
Don't you dare. He's told one lie. Maybe there'll be more. For a start, we've been watching the wrong CCTV footage. Now he's changed his mind about his route. Different cameras might come up trumps.
Out she gets. Ronnie. Got him.
Nice one.
Footage of Jodie leaving D'Agostino's cab. She walks around a corner carrying a guitar case. A few moments later, two vans go round the corner, one of them red, the other a white Glazier's van.
second after Jodie turns into Broadwick Street. Can you rewind that bit?
For you, anything?
So just after Jodie turns into Broadwick Street, one of the residents of the flats remembers seeing a white van hanging around the skip.
Do you know how many white vans there are in London?
Matt freezes the image.
But not all of them have got racks on the side. It's a glazier's van.
And Jodie was found with glass splinters in her hands, which could have come from the back of that van.
They stare at the image of the van with the rack on its right-hand side.
They're all side shots. The driver's in profile for maybe one frame. I see one, I see two maybe.
What about the van? Congestion zone cameras must have got the registration number.
Oh, yeah, they got a beauty of the mud obscuring it.
What about the lettering on the side behind the rack?
Well, I mean, the logo's all faded and the angle the sunlight's hitting the glass means you can't make out a thing.
So basically, we're back to square one, Gov.
Is that a window? It's not standard. Can't be many that shape around.
Later, Matt finishes a phone call.
That is a modern take on the 19th century arch window, apparently.
Well, it's very good, but does he have any idea what sort of building it comes from?
Well, I reckon we've been there a few times.
Nope, you've lost me.
That is a window from the south block of the Old Bailey.
Surprised, Ronnie looks at the image of the van with the glass on its rack. Tooting Glass Services Limited, Burntwood Lane, SW17.
That's right, we did the Old Bailey job last week. Wasn't easy matching it up.
Is this one of yours?
A photo of the van.
What's this all about?
We ask first, Mr. Andreu.
Yeah, it looks like one of my vans. What was it, hit and run?
We think the driver may have witnessed a crime.
Hey, well, look, I've got over 30 fitters. I need to check the files. Leave me a number and I'll get back to you.
He toys with a coin.
Have you been sober long?
Pardon?
So thine own self be true. That's what mine says. How long?
392 days.
That's good.
Andreu smiles tightly.
We need this information now, Mr. Andreu.
Andreu smiles tightly again and nods. He makes a phone call.
You know the Grovewood Rehab Clinic, dear?
Well, I read the brochure in between pints.
Yeah, Christos. Who fitted the window on the Old Bailey job? Chief. Nick Colton lives in Kennington. He's out on a job.
Later, with Nick.
Don't tell my boss, right? I was moonlighting.
You got the address?
Must have checked it out. The job wasn't worth my while.
What about a client's name?
I ain't got a memory for names, me.
Well, that's a shame. What'd you do after that?
Big job, Belgravia. Traffic was mental. By the time I got there, it was after six. So I packed it in, headed for the Westminster Bridge.
What, a Kennington? Surely Vauxhall Bridge will be quicker.
My mum lives in Deptford. Went round for dinner.
Who else was there?
Just mum.
And what time did the party finish at your mum's?
I don't know. Watched the footy and left.
And your mum will vouch that you were there.
She don't need to. Speed cameras will do that. I got done on the way there. 80 quid and 3 points. I was only going 40.
Later, with Natalie.
No. Nick Carlton is habitual. He started off with a tour of young offenders institutions at 15. He graduated with the big boys. You name a Nick that he hasn't been in.
What'd he do?
What didn't he do? Burglary, GBH, hit and run. One rape charge that never made it to court. One that got him 8 years. He served four. The youngest victim was 20.
Killing little girls, though, that's a big leap.
He has been out 6 years and nothing.
Well, maybe prison did him some good.
Or taught him how not to get caught. Did you confirm that speed camera?
Going 40 and a 30.
Doesn't mean he didn't have a dead girl in the back of his van.
And he goes straight onto his mum's house for a plate of spag bol.
Man's got to eat.
He's got history and he was at the scene of the kidnapping. I want you to search his van.
Yeah.
Forensics Lab, Bow Street.
We went through the van with a fine tooth comb and I checked the material under the microscope. No fibres, no hair.
What? Nothing.
Apart from bad taste in music.
Well, go through it again.
If it was there, I'd have found it.
Actually, that makes sense, Matt, because...
Thanks.
Yeah, Nick Carlton has been there and back and bought the T-shirt with the old hit-and-run cape, wouldn't he? So the first thing he's going to do is book his vehicle in for a valet.
But Jodie had glass in her hands. There must have been blood there.
They were just abrasions on her hands with glass splinters embedded. No actual blood, I'm afraid. Look, we've sent the glass off for analysis. I've said it's a priority.
Oh, great.
Matt goes.
Cheers, Teddy.
Thanks.
So what now?
Right, well, let's check his alibi. Talk to his mum.
Home of Doris Carlton.
I made roast pork. It's Nicky's favourite.
You know what I love, Mrs. Carlton? Roast pork sandwiches. Thick white bread, butter, you know, bit of applesauce, pepper. Beautiful. What about your Nicky? Did he make himself a sandwich before he went on the road?
I don't know. I went to bed.
At what time?
After the news.
Which you prefer, BBC London or London Tonight?
They've all got the same bad news.
Bet the hammers look good on that, don't they?
Nicky gave it me for Christmas. To watch Chelsea.
Oh, Ronnie.
A mothball.
Well, well. We was only talking about them the other day. Matty was asking me who uses mothballs nowadays.
You get infestations. Keep finding the little blighters all over. Coming in through my airing cupboard.
Mind if we have a look?
You already have.
Matt takes some sheets out of the airing cupboard.
My old mum had a set of them. What's that, two pillowcases and a bottom sheet?
Top sheet will make the set.
Ronnie smiles and nods at Mrs. Carlton. It's dark as Nick lights a cigarette and sees Matt and Ronnie walking towards him.
Not gonna be a silly boy and try and do a runner, are you?
You're an old hand at this. Nicholas Carlton, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the kidnap and murder of Jodie Gaines.
Maybe you'd seen little Jodie before and picked her out especially.
No comment.
Look, Nick, the only thing that's gonna help you now is if you tell us exactly what happened.
Just say how sorry you are for killing Jodie.
No comment.
It's your best chance of avoiding life without parole.
He's right. If you didn't mean to kill her, and it was, say, an accident, it's a whole other prison sentence between manslaughter and murder. So, was it an accident?
No comment.
The judge gives him life without parole. I want to be there. I want to see the whites of his eyes.
The glass splinters found in Jodie's hands are an exact match with the glass found in the back of Carlton's van. Let's charge him.
They look at Nick on a security monitor. Crown versus Carlton. Bail hearing.
The defendant has a catalogue of previous convictions, many of them violent. The Crown believes he poses a risk to children.
There is no suggestion that Mr. Carlton has ever committed any offences against children. His last conviction is 10 years old. And, my lord, he is the sole carer for his elderly mother.
The judge leans forward and eyes fair-haired Nick as he stands in the dock wearing a grey suit.
I am reluctantly granting bail on the following strict conditions. Residence at his mother's address in Deptford, an electronic tag and curfew between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. and twice daily reporting to Deptford Police Station.
Alicia's disappointed. Outside the court, an angry crowd has gathered. Amongst it are Jodie's mum and dad, Kaylee and Lenny. A press pack is also there. Some of the crowd hold up banners. Death for kid killers. Pedo scum. Nick and his mum emerge from the court.
They bailed the bastard.
Lenny, I am so sorry. We will get him at the top.
Will ya? You said he wouldn't get bail.
Nick puffs on a cigarette. Kaylee marches towards him.
Kaylee!
No, you stay here. Kaylee!
She pushes her way up to the police line, which is holding the crowd back.
Kaylee!
As the crowd surges forward, Kaylee breaks through the police line and manages to stab Nick. He collapses on the ground with a red stain spreading across his shirt.
Excuse me. What's going on? Wait, you're bleeding.
No, I'm okay.
Ronnie arrives.
Matt! Kaylee!
Matt approaches Kaylee, who still clutches the knife, its blade stained crimson. Matt takes the knife. Mrs. Carlton kneels sobbing beside her stricken son. Later, Kaylee sits in a police cell. Ronnie, Lenny and Matt are with her.
He killed Jodie.
Shut up, Kaylee. Just wait for your brief to get here.
I'm so sorry.
Mrs. Gaines, please, just listen to me.
She keeps looking at her right hand, the hand that held the knife. Alicia arrives. Matt and Ronnie go over to her.
think Carlton's dead.
Matt hangs his head. Kaylee overhears. She notices Alicia's coat is still stained with blood from the stabbing. She looks fearfully at Matt as he steps forward.
Mrs. Gaines. I am arresting you on the murder of Nicholas Carlton. You do not have to say anything.
Are you serious?
It may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something that you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
He leads her away past Alicia.
He killed my little girl.
Matt leads her on. Alicia hangs her head and closes her eyes as she wrestles with her emotions. Crown Prosecution Service.
How the hell did this happen?
It was over in a flash.
Where were the family liaison officers?
No one knew that she'd react like that.
We can't have every victim of crime taking the law into their own hands.
With every van banging in the country cheering them on, they're saying that she deserves an OBE.
Well, it doesn't take much effort to put yourself in her shoes.
Yeah, maybe not. But it can't justify murder.
You want to try her for murder?
Yeah, of course. What if the next grieving mum gets herself a gun?
Well, any jury will see that she's out of her mind with grief.
No. She took a knife to the Old Bailey. The whole thing was caught on camera.
Even so?
Look, we're backed into a corner. I know it's tough, but we have to prosecute.
Except your jury will be wishing that they had stabbed them themselves.
Alicia and James lock eyes.
I don't want a big, messy trial. Talk to the barrister. Make a deal.
My client wants 7 days for this.
Murder has a minimum tariff, B. Even you can't magic that away.
Yeah, well, as soon as the jury get a look at Nick Carlton's record, they'll be lining up to shake Kaylee's hand.
If they ignore the fact that she stuck a knife in his chest.
The only fact that matters is that Jodie Gaines is dead because the criminal justice system failed to put scum like Nick Carlton behind bars. Now, thanks to Kaylee Gaines, Mr. Carlton's crime spree is over. For good.
It wasn't up to her to end it.
Beatrice is unimpressed. They go into a police cell where Kaylee is waiting for them.
I'm so sorry. Please, would you leave the talking to me, Mrs. Gaines?
All I could see in my head was Jodie dumped in that skip.
Please, Mrs. Gaines.
I kept thinking about her last minutes alive. Where he kept her.
Please.
What he done to her.
James eyes her awkwardly.
How scared she must have been.
Kaylee nods.
I understand why you did it. But you killed a man.
Yeah, he was a monster. If he killed your little girl, tell me you wouldn't feel the same.
She jumps up and glares angrily at James. He glances at Beatrice.
I'm sorry. We're charging murder.
He turns and goes. Beatrice indicates hang on to Kaylee and follows him.
You know, I've always found your inflexibility truly irritating, James.
Then please don't let me keep you.
Manslaughter provocation, have we got ourselves a deal?
This was a straight-up revenge killing me. You know it.
You think she wasn't provoked? He kidnapped and murdered her only child.
No, that hadn't been proved. Nick Carlton died an innocent man.
Well, why don't you tell that to the jury? We are on the side of the angels, James. You force a murder trial, and you're the one who's going to end up with egg on his face.
She walks back to the cell, leaving James looking thoughtful. Later, he walks with Alicia.
You shouldn't let her get to you.
I don't.
Really? George said to make a deal.
Kaylee Gaines should do time.
Manslaughter provocation carries a custodial. She could get 12 years.
Or as little as 12 months.
Isn't that enough? She lost a child, James.
It doesn't change the fact that she killed Nick Carlton. What if he was innocent?
She believed he was guilty.
Totally irrelevant. Kaylee Gaines will get a fair trial, the chance of rehabilitation. Nick Carlton deserved the same.
All I'm asking is that we show a little mercy.
He stares ahead.
But it isn't up to us to show mercy, Alicia.
So what do we do?
We do what she should have done. We let a jury decide.
Beatrice and James.
See the tabloids this morning? They're giving out pull-out posters to put in your window. Kaylee's our hero.
Yeah, I can undress myself, thank you, B.
You'll never win. The whole nation's on her side.
I'll take my chances.
It's too late, you know. You just say those two little words and the trial just disappears just like that. Manslaughter provocation.
The charge is murder.
Oh, come on. It's a little provocation between friends. Gloves are off then.
Crown versus Gaines, day 4.
Nick was my only child. After my husband passed away, Nick looked after me.
Your son had convictions for violence, didn't he?
I never said he was a saint. If he'd anything to do with that little girl's death, then he should have gone to prison, no question. I could have lived with that. But this...
She turns to Kaylee.
Who gave you the right to play God?
Mrs. Carlton, just answer counsel's questions, please.
Her little girl's dead, and I'm sorry. But who is she to kill my son?
The judge makes some notes.
He was my baby.
Beatrice cross-examines Lenny.
After your divorce, the family court gave you custody of Jodie.
They said Kaylee was unfit.
Why was that?
When she had Jodie, the anaesthetist bodged the epidural. Messed up a nerve in her back. GP gave her painkillers, but Kaylee had a problem getting off them.
Is it right Kaylee was born addicted to crack cocaine?
Yeah.
And we heard from our expert witness earlier that crack babies have a predisposition to addiction, so it must have been no surprise when Kaylee became addicted to the painkillers.
She was addicted within weeks. But she got off them.
After her recovery, what sort of mother was she?
Good one.
Lenny looks over at Kaylee.
Loving one.
No further questions.
Beatrice sits down and James gets to his feet.
Having gained custody of Jodie 7 years ago, you've been her sole carer, haven't you?
That's right.
So surely you're the one who must feel the loss of Jodie most acutely. You're the one who must feel most provoked.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And yet, you didn't feel like killing Mr. Carlton.
I'm not a violent man. I couldn't do something like that.
No, you couldn't. Provoked or not, no normal, decent person could they?
Is my learned friend making a speech already, my lord?
Mr. Steele, plenty of time for speeches later.
James nods and sits down. Lenny looks over at Kaylee, and she flashes the ghost of a smile at him. The clerk of the court addresses the jury.
On count one, the murder of Nicholas Carlton, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
On count two, the manslaughter of Nicholas Carlton, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Kaylee looks down as the verdict is given. Listening, Lenny looks pensive. James glances at Alicia and nods. The judge sums up.
A man lost his life. He may indeed have been responsible for the death of Mrs. Gaines' daughter. But it is not one person's right to end the life of another. This offense is clearly so serious, only custody is appropriate. The sentence I pass is one of 12 months imprisonment.
James looks surprised. Beatrice smiles.
Mrs. Gaines, no doubt the real punishment for you is to bear the loss of your daughter. You have my deepest sympathy. The sentence is wholly suspended for 2 years.
James looks up incredulously. Listening, George Castle looks over at James. Kaylee looks relieved. Lenny smiles over at her. James, Alicia, and George walk through the courthouse.
He might as well have congratulated her on hitting a major artery.
Does that judge have any idea what he just did in there?
We go through all this and for what? So you can hand a get-out-of-jail-free card to every knife-wielding maniac who cries provocation?
Maybe not.
Alicia meets with Ronnie and Matt.
Alicia, just to let you know, we found out Kaylee Gaines was treated for heroin addiction last year.
Maybe she went one step further when the GP called time no painkillers.
Maybe, but it's not the what, it's the where, and it was at the Grovewood Rehab Clinic.
So she went to Grovewood? The trial's over, what does it matter?
Well, she had company. Nick Carlton's boss, Faris Andreo, also dried out at the Grovewood.
Grovewood Rehab Centre, Southgate N14.
Kayleigh Gaines and Faris Andreo both went through rehab last year. Kayleigh was NHS funded.
So Faris Andreo knew that Kayleigh Gaines had a daughter?
Whatever he knew about her personal life didn't need to come from the sessions. They had an affair. They broke a cardinal rule. We asked them to leave.
Later, with James...
She had to know Andreo was Nick Carlton's boss.
Do you think all three of them were involved?
It'd be a hell of a coincidence if they weren't. Why else hide it?
Ronnie and Matt interview Andreo.
The Italian doctor had the hots for me. I knocked her back, she got it in her head, I was getting it on with Kayleigh.
Who you forgot to mention that you knew? We know you've been inside.
If it's tax evasion, like white collar stuff.
And is that where you met Nick Carlton, when he was in prison?
Well, we were pad mates till he pissed the screws off and got ghosted out to Ashbridge.
And after that, what, you became pen pals then, did you?
He came knocking on my door looking for a job. I felt sorry for him.
And you often employ convicted rapists, do you?
What are you talking about?
The young woman Nick Carlton raped. She woke up and found him sitting on the end of her bed.
No. He wouldn't.
He did. He tied her up. He gagged her, would you believe, just to stop her screaming so her flatmates wouldn't hear, and then he raped her.
Andreo looks flabbergasted.
Carlton was in for fraud. He swindled some insurance company.
Well, if you bought that story, the only one being swindled, Faris, was you.
He'd have been on the roll, wouldn't he? The Nancy's wing.
Well, maybe he had friends. Friends like you just turn a blind eye.
No, you have to believe me. If I'd have known he raped anyone, I wouldn't have given him the time of day, let alone a job.
You're facing quite a few charges here,
Faris. Look, I didn't know it was a nonce. You've got to believe
me. There's kidnap, conspiracy to murder, perverting the course of justice.
The coin.
To thine own self be true, and it must follow, as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. I mean, that quote from Hamlet gets us through another day, doesn't it? Hey, be honest with ourselves, and we can stay sober. Gotta be honest with others too, haven't you, Faris? Only then are we truly healed. So, what have you and Kayleigh Gaines been hiding from us?
Andreo sits back looking tense.
I owed her. He kicked her out of rehab because of me. But I only gave her Nick Carlton's phone number. I swear to God. That is all I did.
Okay, for the tape, Faris Andreo, who did you give Nick Carlton's telephone number to?
He eyes Ronnie across the table.
Kayleigh. It was all Kayleigh. She said she wanted Nick Carlton to do something for her.
Could she have hired Carlton to snatch Jodie?
Why would she?
Kayleigh, be straight with us.
Me and Faris? Just a fling.
He reckons you and Nick Carlton were in it together.
What? Why would he say that? He's lying. Why is he doing this to me?
Faris reckons that you were trying to get back at Lenny. Because he wouldn't let you see Jodie.
Well, we get on. Me and Lenny.
Kayleigh.
Ronnie raises his eyebrows.
How can you even think?
The cops stare levelly at her.
What mum could do that to her own kid?
Do you think she's telling the truth?
What do you think? Could it be an act?
Honestly, I don't know.
So what now?
You want to know if someone's telling the truth? You talk to the person who knows them best.
James is with Lenny.
Do you really think Kayleigh did this?
James and Alicia both look awkward.
I'm sorry. I can't take this in.
At the trial, you swore she was a good mother.
Lenny grimaces.
She was hurting enough.
just said what a barrister told me to say.
James looks disappointed.
What didn't you say, Lenny?
There was this time. She was late bringing Jodie back, 12 hours late. Kaylee had taken her down to Hastings, locked her up in some hole of a B&B and gone off to...
Alicia looks up.
To score.
She was using again.
Jodie was terrified. She said it was like Mummy was asleep with her eyes open. So I stopped the visit.
James leans forward.
You should have told the police.
No.
No.
James and Alicia are with George.
Please, God, tell me she's not involved. I mean, I saw these interviews, the appeal. She was shaking with grief.
It wasn't grief. It was withdrawal.
But why would she stop using just when she needed it most? The stress must have been enormous.
You wouldn't have any choice. The minute Jodie was reported missing, she had family liaison officers with her day and night.
Oh, why didn't we see it?
The thing about addicts is they make very good liars.
So the police knew it was someone close, they just got the wrong parent.
The question is why? What could possibly drive her to have her own daughter kidnapped?
Kaylee.
Ronnie and Matt interview her.
That mobile phone was found in your flat, hidden inside a resealed milk cart.
The phone is registered to a Mrs. Gemma Miller. Now, we've been in touch with Mrs. Miller, and she confirms that she sold the phone via an online auction site to a Kaylee Gaines.
This is a record of the call traffic between that mobile phone and Nick Colton's. We also know that you were texting each other like a couple of teenagers the week Jodie went missing.
Well, I did buy that phone, yeah. But it was nicked the day I got it. Maybe Farris took it. I was thinking, Farris and Nick Carlton, maybe they was in on it together.
The problem here, Kaylee, is that we can tell the location of the calls as well as the phone that they came from. The calls from your phone came from your flat.
Kaylee stares wide-eyed and chews gum.
So, you see, Kaylee, we know you're involved.
She looks away, chewing mechanically. Matt regards her questioningly. She squirms, avoiding eye contact. Finally, she looks directly at Matt and Ronnie.
It was only supposed to Ida.
She looks from Ronnie to Matt, trying to read their reaction. She flashes a dissembling smile. Matt sits back and looks down thoughtfully. He gets up and leaves the room. Ronnie remains staring inscrutably at Kaylee. James follows George into his office.
Kaylee hired a sex offender to snatch Jodie off the street and keep her hidden for 6 days. As kidnap, false imprisonment, and the child cruelty involved makes it unlawful act manslaughter.
Well, hang on though. Jodie died as a result of being gagged. Are we saying that Kaylee knew Carlton would gag Jodie?
We can add perverting the course of justice to that list, because the woman is a born liar.
So we charge her of all four offences?
Yes, but if we do it right. She will change her story 10 times before she gets into that witness box, so you need to corroborate these witnesses.
Middlesex Cemetery.
Mrs. Carlton, the police are going to charge you with assisting an offender.
Oh, that's rich. Lock me up, a pensioner. Oh, that murdering bitch walks around free as you like.
Did your son... did he tell you why Kaylee Gaines wanted Jodie kidnapped?
Mrs. Carlton shakes her head. James crouches beside her as she kneels at Nick's graveside.
The more you can tell us about her involvement, the greater chance we have of putting her behind bars. If Nick said anything...
After the girl got sick, Nick said he called Mrs. Gaines, told her that he needed a doctor. He wanted to take her himself, but she, Mrs. Gaines, she said no. Said they'd both get sent down if anyone found out. Nick told Mrs. Gaines that the girl was crying and making a lot of noise. She said, tape her mouth up. Stop her whining.
Crown v. Gaines, second trial, day 6.
Well, it was only meant to be a week. Fortnight, tops.
You were prepared to let a total stranger look after Jodie for 2 weeks?
Well, it was a nice flat. She had everything she needed. Telly, Xbox, the lot.
Nick Carlton was a convicted rapist, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he never touched her, did he? The police said she weren't abused.
You stabbed Nick Carlton to cover up your involvement, didn't you?
Stabbed him because he killed my little girl. Papers called me a hero. I'm still the same person.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Kaylee nods emphatically.
Why did you get Nick Carlton to kidnap Jodie?
Her eyes rove.
It was Farris. It was his idea. When a kid goes missing, the papers want to talk to the mum, don't they? Well, Farris said if there was a happy ending, papers would pay a fortune.
You put Jodie's life at risk just so you could sell your story.
Well, didn't I kill her, did I?
Kaylee, make me understand why you would risk her life. What did you need the money for?
Lenny, Mrs. Carlton and Mr. Andrea all stare over at Kaylee. Her face crumples.
I want it to be a proper mum.
James looks down.
The kind I never had.
Lenny blinks and nods slightly as he listens to her.
She grew inside me, all safe. And then, the minute she was born, it all went wrong. Lenny just took her away from me. He just took over.
Lenny closes his eyes and a tear runs down his cheek.
I kept trying to find my way back, but I couldn't.
She wipes her nose with her hand.
I needed the money to pay for rehab. I was all booked in. I was going to get clean so I could be with Jodie again.
Then why didn't you do it the right way, the normal way? Get clean and then prove yourself to the courts.
Well, how? The NHS wouldn't fund me twice. I begged for help. I screamed and shouted for it, but nobody listened. Because people like you, like her.
Beatrice.
But all of you, you don't see me.
Listening, Alicia looks moved.
I'm that bit of shit on the pavement. You step around so you don't mess up your shoes. I was gonna get clean and take her away. We were going to Ibiza, me and Jodie. Far away from London and Lenny and the drugs. So we could be together. So I could be her mum again.
You were going to take that little girl away from the only loving parent she knew.
I loved her more than he did.
You didn't think twice about the trauma of being snatched off the street by a total stranger,
no,
did you?
It wasn't
you
like
didn't lose
that.
A wink of sleep at the thought of Jodie shoved in the back of a van, tied up her mouth, taped shut,
no,
did you?
You're wrong.
And all because you wanted to be a proper mum again.
Kaylee and James glare furiously across the courtroom at each other.
You don't deserve to be a mum.
They continue staring at each other. Matt and Ronnie watch. Beatrice looks down, staring into the distance. James breaks eye contact with Kaylee and looks around the courtroom. Later, he and Alicia leave the building. They see a prison officer leading Kaylee in handcuffs over to a prison van. As she steps up into the van, she glares over at James and Alicia. The officer hustles her into the van. James and Alicia walk on as it drives off. ITFC audio description by John Walskill. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious.